Hi, this is Alana S. for the Anonymous Us podcast. I'm going to read several stories from parents today. We've gotten a lot of really interesting stories from parents lately, and I wanted to share them with you all. And this particular podcast is dedicated to Lorraine, a single mom by choice that I met at a recent event, and the first person ever to recognize me outside of my expected clique. And thank you, Lorraine, for approaching me, and these stories are for you. First one is called Optimism and Confusion. I am already a mom of one wonderful 5-year-old son. I know that I want another child. I've actually wanted another for about a year now. I'm strongly considering using donor sperm. I read through many stories of children wondering about their father. I never knew my real father. He left when I was 3 and my sister was 1. My son rarely, maybe once a year, sees his dad. I didn't make poor choices. We were married and both military. How was I to know it wouldn't work out and he would choose to go overseas? To leave the country without any regards to his firstborn. These are situations where the dad chooses to neglect the child after the child is born. I understand that most donors are choosing to ignore their children, but at least it's before they ever meet them, before they should have fallen in love with them. I want to bring another child into my loving home. I can more than afford another child financially and emotionally. At least my child won't feel the hurt I felt knowing that their dad met them and still chose to leave. One day I hope to meet someone who will love me and my children, someone who could be a good role model to them. He doesn't have to be their dad. This was not intended to hurt anyone. It was just a justification for my choice of donor pregnancy. I've been planning and I'll start trying in January. The second podcast, the second story is called Wanted Child. I had never planned on being pregnant. I had always wanted a child, but had planned on adoption. My husband had never planned on having children, but then ended up married to his first wife, and they had a son. Having his son changed his life and his attitude of having children. He wished to have more. However, he got a vasectomy at his wife's request, and they divorced. When my husband and I were dating, I was concerned about two things: our age difference, because we were almost 20 years apart, and his view of adoption. My previous boyfriend of several years was against adoption. My husband was excited about having more children, whether through pregnancy or adoption, but he wanted them before he reached 50. We talked and decided we wanted to adopt a child under 3 years old first, and then adopt 1 to 2 older children after that. After looking into adoption, though, we were disheartened to find out that the cost of agency adoption and the wait list for social services adoption. Oddly, our insurance offered infertility assistance, but not adoption assistance. I knew that people had conceived after vasectomies using IVF or ICSI. I was hesitant with going through IVF. I had never thought about being pregnant. And after much discussion, we decided to try IVF ICSI. If the first round failed, we would get on the waiting list for social service adoption and try IVF again as well. While getting tested for IVF, we found that my husband's hormone levels were quite low. We were informed that in order to proceed with IVF or ICSI, my husband would have to have the sperm extracted by TESE, which is cutting open the testes and extracting tissue. Even with that invasive procedure, we were recommended to set up a donor sperm backup. The doctors felt that the chance of collecting viable sperm from my husband was around 20%. Faced with this new information, we started to look at donor sperm. My husband was the one who preferred to use it. His family had some medical issues that he was concerned about passing on to our child. And my initial response was no, it seemed a little creepy. And I worried about how my husband would feel with a child that wasn't his biologically. But he reminded me that he was okay with adoption, and this was just a different version of adoption. We decided to forego the IVF and simply try an IUI with donor sperm. For us, choosing a donor wasn't hard. Our reproductive clinic only worked with 3 sperm banks. We chose a donor based on physical traits similar to my husband and whose interests were similar to ours. The first donor we looked at, we both liked. We reviewed others, but in the end went with the first one. He was a new donor, and his sperm had only become available 6 weeks prior to our order, so he had no confirmed pregnancies. Before the IUI, our clinic required us to get a psychological consultation since we were using donor sperm. She asked questions about how we felt going into this. Was it a choice, or did we feel it was the only option? How our families felt, and would we both be open with our child? We explained our desire to adopt and how we view this as a variation of adoption. We wanted to be open with our child and specifically chose a donor who was open. We told our families, who responded with a happy, "we just want a baby" kind of comments. We were allowed to proceed, and I'm happy to say that our IUI with donor sperm was successful. Several weeks after my positive pregnancy test, I checked back with the sperm bank, and in those few weeks, another positive pregnancy was reported. Currently, I am 19 weeks pregnant, and everything is going just fine. My husband is so giddy about the baby and loves telling people that we are expecting. We are both excited about the chance that at least one other person might conceive with the same donor sperm. We both hope that the other parents will be willing to exchange information and the possibility to allow the children to meet someday. I've already collected information to register with the donor forum from our sperm bank, as well as others that I've found online. We want our child to know about potential biological siblings, and I'm hoping to find a group locally of other folks who use donors to get their children, so that our child can see that they are not the only one. Our child will get access to some sort of donor information when they turn 18. Both my husband and I hope that they will be able to contact the donor. It's funny, as much as we are excited that our child gets to have this whole other world in their life, at times we forget how they were conceived. We find ourselves making comments and wondering, will the baby have dad's height, dad's big nose, or dad's charisma? We do worry about how our child will handle this information. I believe it's normal to want to know about the people you come from. My husband and I knew with adoption that that would be an issue to be addressed. But we figure this isn't much different, and we will do the best we can to support them. We will let them grow up knowing the truth and let them make the choices they want in investigating siblings and the donor. We'll try to expose them to children who were conceived by donors or brought into a family by adoption. And most of all, we'll keep telling them how much we wanted them and how much we love them. Thank you very much to the author of Wanted Child. I have one last story from a parent. It's rather long, I apologize, but it's a good one. It's called Access Denied. 14 years ago, I was in a new marriage with a wonderful husband and two gorgeous children from my previous marriage. And I was on the threshold of acting upon the yearnings to have a child with my new husband, especially as he was such an amazing stepfather. I felt that he deserved the right to have a child of his own. Firstly, as I had had no problem at all becoming pregnant when I was younger and in my first marriage, I didn't foresee that there would be any issues this time. I did fall pregnant a couple of times. However, these pregnancies ended in miscarriage both times. Every miscarriage brought with it such heartbreak and a new strong determination to succeed the next time. My doctor suggested that I go and see a fertility clinic and a specialist in this area. So off we went and had blood tests and ultrasounds, and seems that both of us, my husband and I, seemed to have every test known to man. Or at least that's what it felt like. I then was told I would need to have IVF. I was given maximum doses of hormones allowable and was producing the grand total of 5 eggs, 3 of which would fertilize. However, because of the low quality of my eggs, now that I was 38, the cells simply could not divide fast enough to support life in my embryos. I never had enough embryos to freeze, so each time I went back to try for another pregnancy, I had to do the whole IVF hormone injection thing again and again. We did this 3 times, and I did not fall pregnant once. I did have one more natural pregnancy in between IVF cycles. However, this also ended in miscarriage. Well, I was hooked by this stage. To come this far and give up, the yearning was worse than ever before. The doctors at the fertility clinic told me that my eggs were no longer viable. Depressed and inconsolably sad and bewildered at my non-existent fertility after 2 years of quote-unquote pregnancies and hope, I gave up. Then one day, about a month later, I bumped into one of the nurses from the clinic, and I was telling her that there was no hope. She suggested donor eggs. All my hope came rushing back. You mean, really? There are people who will just give you their eggs? Yes, she said. But being that in my country there's no financial gain for the egg donor, and the whole IVF process is so invasive and difficult, our egg donors are far and few between. However, I could go on a wait list for a donor. I contacted the clinic, and they said, yes, I could go on the wait list, but that was years long. I was already 40. I didn't have years to wait and hope and dream. They said to me that there was another way if I was prepared to advertise from my own donor. Of course, I was more than willing to do this. I ended up with one woman responding to donate anonymously. A couple of women who knew me asked if they could donate their eggs to me. And although grateful for their kindness and good intentions, I simply did not want a donor who might drop in to visit me and look at my child as if he or she were their own child. Nor did I want my child to grow up with some dark secret that he or she was in fact my friend's child. And nor did I want to hide something as huge as this from someone I knew I would love so much, meaning my child. For me, love does not exist if deception is thrown in. Love and deception simply do not mix. Of course, presuming I would fall pregnant with the use of someone else's eggs, we went with the anonymous donor. I was so very, very grateful to her, and I still am. I know what she went through to donate her eggs, having been through the whole process 3 times myself. It was huge for her to do this for me and my husband and not even know us. Should this have sent me warning bells about the industry? Maybe. However, I was too far gone and lost in my yearnings. Even my husband gave me an out. He said that if we didn't get pregnant, it was okay. We still had my 2 older children, and we would just focus on them, and we would have lots of holidays, etc., and live a self-indulgent life. But I was on a roll, and deep down, we both still really wanted our own baby. I received great quality eggs from my anonymous donor. I fell pregnant on the 2nd attempt with an embryo from her egg and my husband's sperm. After another 38 weeks, we had our baby. Of course, he was the most beautiful baby that was ever on this earth, and we were and are such proud parents. Not excluding my older children. Oh, I love this little guy so very much that there are no words to describe. Every part of him is cherished in exactly the same way as my biological children. I just wanted to make this clear before I go on because I'm going to be completely honest in a way that many people call hypocritical and often produces angry comments and fear of having to acknowledge that children created via sperm and egg donation actually factually belong to another family's genetics and history. There's no way in which we can pretend these facts away. These children are who they are, and while we parent our donor-conceived children as we would our own, and we love them no less, are we entitled to deliberately take them from their own biological families? I started wondering about this. I would look at my child and wonder how much of him was like my donor and her family. I wondered many things about his personality, his looks, the things that he did. I wondered when I walked down the street if I might be passing my donor, his biological mother, genetically and factually speaking. And don't get me wrong, I wished with all my heart that he was completely mine. Mind, body, and soul. I began questioning donor-conceived adult people who I would seek out and interrogate as to how they felt. And initially, I was appalled at how ungrateful many sounded, that they were given so much love when there were so many unloved children in the world. Most of them were well-educated, had loving homes, and professed to love both parents who brought them up. However, they also still yearned for their biological family. Mothers, fathers, grandparents, aunts, uncles, siblings, cousins, etc. Some even had a couple hundred possible siblings because of sperm donation not being regulated in earlier days. Well, you know, what about my child? I was beginning to see some logical reasoning behind all this. I then checked out adoptees, and they felt the same about their families. The difference to adoptees was that usually they were adopted because of some catastrophic situation where their biological parents were unable to keep them. Donated children don't have the luxury of an excuse like that. They are given away or sold in some countries before conception with the intention that they be created to live with another family. More often than not, donated or sold anonymously by a donor who has absolutely no idea of what kind of home or parents or values this intended child is going to grow up with. There are not anywhere near the same requirements to have someone else's baby through egg and sperm donation as there are to adopt someone else's child. Why is there not certain criteria in every country of the world as to the suitability of a child being placed in the care of the recipient parent? Of course, I acknowledge that one of the donor-conceived person's parents is usually, but not always, a biological parent as well, though the recipient parent is not screened, and the fully intended child is from a different family in this respect. Anyway, a few years ago, we went on and found my anonymous donor. She wanted to meet us, too. She fell in love with our son as soon as she lay eyes on him. She said he was special to her, and she would love to know him as he grew and play some part in his life. I did welcome this. Over a period of time, we met other members of his biological family. I remember clearly one day when our donor visited and she brought her mother along. I remember feelings of jealousy, envy, both surge within me with the realization that I was the only person in the room who was not biologically related to my son. And there was so much evidence in front of me. He looked a lot like her. His fingers and toes are exactly like hers, which is the first thing I noticed. And he moved like her. I could not help but love her also, which I think stemmed from the total unconditional love that I feel for my son. And seeing them together brought such raw emotional feelings because it was very hard to separate their likeness and the knowledge that she, in fact, is his biological mother. I had to keep my focus that I was doing this for my son's well-being, and this was hard to do at times because it had been my choice that I take him from his biological family. I owed him this knowledge, and at the same time, I am proud to be given the opportunity of being his mother. My older children are proud and happy to have a little brother whom they adore. At this point in time, my donor had not had any children of her own. After meeting my son, she wanted children of her own. And yes, I think strong emotional feelings were also stirring within her. She went on to have, so far, 3 children of her own. But sadly, her partner and her decided that they did not want their children to be brought up knowing my son as a half-sibling. They told me that I was not to tell my son that their children were half-siblings. I argued that my donor had wanted to be part of his life earlier and that she could not untell my son what he had already been given knowledge of. He had met a few members of her family and has an ongoing relationship with his biological grandmother. Even if I wanted to abide by their wishes, it would be impossible to undo what had already happened and what he already knew. For me, this was not an option anyway. My love for my son is unconditional. There is no room for deception and secrets in our relationship. I may not be his biological mother, but I am his mother, and I will be someone he can trust to always act fiercely in what I believe to be his best interests. I am angry for him, and he has been given away twice. Once as an egg with intention of becoming a human being, and then again as a child. How do I explain to him why he is not wanted in their lives without causing him pain. On the other hand, had I not grasped this opportunity of giving him knowledge of who he really is, would he have one day felt contempt at the deception of not having this information about himself? My answer is yes, this is what I believe. I've talked with many donor-conceived adults and believe me, they know most of their lives that there was something amiss, and many feel a certain disconnection with their families, and much falls into place once they find out the truth. Had they had the opportunity to grow up knowing who they really are and having opportunity to form bonds with their own biological families, would this have made the difference for them? One popular argument for the use of donor conception is that many children in this world need to cope with the loss of biological family through all different kinds of circumstances. For example, death, separation of parents, unwanted or unplanned pregnancies. And these kids are supposed to cope. Ask if this is ideal? No, it's not ideal, but it mostly isn't planned either. In donor conception, this is planned. I'm finding now that I look at internet sites and there is a new age of recipient parents out there making it all okay in their minds to continue with this practice by accepting anonymous donors, and they then register their children, therefore doing the best they can to ensure that their children have access to their families at age 18. Is this good enough? Their children may still never find a donor that doesn't update information or does not want to be found. Why are they finding it so important to attend these registers? There must be a reason behind it. Could that reason be that they know that it should be the child's right to know their biological family? Why then accept anonymous human reproductive parts? There seems something strange about accepting donor sperm or eggs, getting pregnant, creating a child, and then rushing out to make it all okay by registering the child to be able to find out about them at age 18. This is too late to find out who you are. Teenage years especially are an emotional roller coaster, and this is a lot for a donor-conceived person to deal with when information about themselves is denied. We do not ever own our children. They are people and humans in their own right. Does all this sound complex and confusing and full of emotions and impossibilities? Well, this is just one story of hundreds of thousands. What are we doing to those we profess to love the most? Of course, the majority of these kids do have very happy lives, so what can be so bad? Well, they mostly haven't had time for it all to register. And for many, this may not even happen until they have children of their own and want to give their children their own unique family genetic information or connection with bloodlines. However, without family bonds and relationships in place, it is merely paperwork. And the loss is real. Yes, I can see exactly why we recipient parents are seen as making selfish decisions. As with my story, it all started with my feelings, my wants, and what lengths I would go to get what I wanted. My infertility was not reparable, so I used someone else's. Whilst it got me what I wanted, it is wrong on so many levels. Not to mention the health risks. This is one thing I don't get with the whole fertility industry. They pump us full of what can be dangerous and life-threatening drugs with the intention of bringing a child into our lives, or maybe an orphan. Should these drugs end up being detrimental to our health? What is the point of that, and how ethical is this? Clearly, the child being created here is not being put first and foremost. It's my conclusion that the technology we have to create children is way, way too complex for us humans to deal with. Should we just accept our infertility, or should we continue to take children from their biological families and make them ours? In our own minds, that is because the reality is that DNA and genetics cannot be changed, no matter how we choose to think. These children created by donors can never really be anything but another link in the donor's family, another generation of that family. Now, the above story is, of course, my thoughts and feelings, and mostly my story. With the loss we know that adoptees feel, and the joy and tears and heartbreak of families finding each other after many years, the instant connection they feel when they meet a sibling, and the deep sorrow they feel for not having had the opportunity to know one another. Why do we continue to try and make it okay to do the same all over again intentionally? That was Access Denied. These are all stories from parents who have used or are going to use donor sperm and eggs. Thank you guys so much. I hope you're having a good summer. I'm Alana S., and this is The Anonymous Us.